We'll turn to 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2. And as you find your place there, I'd invite you to stand out of respect to the Word of God as we read just the first four verses. 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Here the Word of God tells us, "Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel." Father, we're grateful for your blessing to us this morning as a church family. And now as we come to the point in our service where we look into your word, we ask your Holy Spirit to help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. This morning being Father's Day, I thought it might be appropriate to just simply look at a father's message to his son. A father's message to his son. Obviously, verse number one is setting the scene here for what's taking place. And I guess the question should be asked, when does a dad stop being a dad? Think about that. When does a dad stop being a dad? Is it when the kids grow up to be 18 years old? Are they all of a sudden on their own and you can stop being a dad? Or is it perhaps when they leave the house? Sometimes they leave at 18. Sometimes they hang around till they're 27, like Stephen did with Amy and I. Is that when you stop being a dad, when they leave home? Of course not. You never cease becoming a dad. And I think one thing that's important to put this passage of Scripture into context is Solomon now, at this point, is king of Israel. Does anyone know how old Solomon was when he began to be king over all Israel? He was 40 years old. And so David is talking to a grown son who already has children of his own. And so keep that in mind when we see what David has to say to his son. And we can take this in two different ways this morning, us men can. First of all, I believe this is what our dads would say to us. But secondly, is this what we're saying to our children? And I think both of them are very challenging. In these verses, there's three things that David essentially is saying to Solomon, his son, as he's getting ready to leave the scene. Now, the first one is he's just simply saying, Solomon, be a man. Solomon, be a man. We need that message ringing louder and clearer today than ever before, as today you can determine whatever your gender is, you can make up your mind and you can even invent things. I mentioned it Wednesday night, but I was reading in the news that there's a fellow over in the state of Oregon that legally had his gender changed to non-binary. And so if you would ask this gentleman, are you male or female? He would say, oh, wait, I'm neither. I am non-binary. Whatever non-binary means. What he means by, and he explained himself, he is a girl trapped in a man's body. That's what he thinks. And so this morning, this first charge in David's message to his son, the father's son to his message to his son is just simply, son, be a man. Don't be a panty waist. Don't be a girl. Real men do not wear pink in our culture. Now, fellas, here's the fine print. If you're wearing pink today, pretend like it's gray because I will never know. I got caught this morning. Elijah, Pastor Wilman's son, came in to my office and I took this jacket and said, Elijah, is this black or is it blue? or green. It could have been any of the above, because I didn't know what color my jacket was. So remember, I'm colorblind. If you're wearing pink, I won't even know. But what the meaning behind that, that real men don't wear pink, and I know it's a saying today, is because in our culture, pink is identified as a feminine color. And so men, don't be effeminate. Be a man. Don't make people wonder what you are or who you are. Let them know you're a man. Now, I was thinking this morning, here's true confessions. I, at one point in my life, actually had a pink shirt. That was before I knew that mauve was a code word for pink. Because I didn't know any better. That was when my stepmom took me shopping one time. Actually, I was shopping. I never shopped alone because it never worked. I never got anything that would match with anything else. And she told me, this shirt is mauve. And I found out later it's actually mauve is just a code word for pink. But Solomon is looking at his dad, and his dad on his deathbed, when things just kind of sort themselves out, and there is no more time for foolishness, no more time for jest, no more time for things that just don't matter. They didn't care what sports team did what. He didn't care what the weather was like. David was going to tell Solomon, this is what's important in life. He says, son, be a man. Let everybody know who you are and what you stand for. Now, this is significant because David was the man of God of that hour. And David is saying to Solomon, look, I'm going to be gone soon. We need a godly man to stand up so that this nation can see what a man of God looks like, what a man of God acts like, and what a man of God has to say. They need someone to stand up who will lead them in the ways of godliness. He says Solomon is going to take a man to do that. Now, if you follow the history of Israel, you'll find that there were many kings that became kings at a very early age. And they went the way that their counselors went. And David's age, or day, and Solomon's day was no different than those days. We think, well, David was this wonderful man of God that God used in a mighty way, wrote many of the Psalms that we have in the Word of God and the sweet psalmist of Israel. We think, man, that whole country was just a godly country, but it wasn't that way. It wasn't that way at all. They had as much inroad of worldliness and the pagan religions that came with it as any other time in Israel's history. And so when Solomon then would take the throne as a young man and feeling himself very inadequate for the task, would then listen to his counselors, and all those counselors may not be godly men. And David was concerned that Solomon would begin to listen to a counselor who would say, well, Solomon, serving God isn't all that important. You can worship God, but let's just take it easy on the soothsayers. Let's take it easy on the witches. Let's take it easy on all these other religions. Let's just be tolerant. Let's just all get along and be one big happy family in our country. David knew that that would happen to Solomon, so he says, Solomon, it's going to take a man to stand up for God. It's going to take a man to show them what a man of God is. And so he says, Solomon, be strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. The second charge he gives to his son, the father's message to his son, be a man. But in verse number 3, he says, Solomon, you be careful now. You listen to what I'm telling you, because this is important. He says, not only be a man, but be godly. Be godly. That's what's wrapped up there in verse number 3 when he says, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God. Solomon had God's hand on him. He had the anointing oil of God resting upon him, and God had him chosen for service as the king of Israel. And as the king of Israel, he would be the one to lead his people in the worship of God. And he was responsible for many of the sacrifices on a daily basis to make sure they're there in the temple and make sure that the temple is cared for and taken care of like it ought to be. He says, Solomon, make sure you're walking according to God's word. And he says it almost as if he's being overly redundant here when he says, I'll walk in His ways, keep His statutes, His commandments, His judgments, His testimonies. He says, Solomon, learn it all and know it all in the Old Testament, in the Mosaic Law. The kings of Israel were supposed to write their own copy of God's Word when they became king, so that they would know the Word of God and know all these statutes and know all these commandments and know all these testimonies. Now, whether they did that or not, we don't really have any record, but that's what was required of them in the Mosaic Law. And I believe they probably did that. At least some of them did. And I believe Solomon was one who did, and so he knew what these were. And David is saying, now be careful that you keep the Word of God. Live a godly life. But you notice there in the middle of the verse, as he's telling him this, he says, you keep them as it is written in the law of Moses. Keep them as it is written in the law of Moses. He says, don't lean too heavily on your counselors in this area. He says, don't lean too heavily upon the priests in this area, because they were corrupt, and they could be corrupt, or they could lead him away, or they could change the Word of God just one little bit and bring devastation to the entire nation. David is saying to Solomon, you just make sure you know what the Word of God says, and you keep the Word of God as God's Word has it recorded. There's a lot of people out there in our day and age today that want to tell you what God's Word says. They say, oh, it doesn't really mean that. This is really what it means. You know, when they tell you that it doesn't really mean that, or that word doesn't mean this, you ought to have some red flags go up if you don't just shut them off immediately. You see, the Word of God is given by inspiration of God, and He preserved it. He promised that in the 12th Psalm. We're to keep God's Word just as it is written in the Holy Scriptures. We don't have the liberty, we don't have the authority, we don't have the right to change it, and even the least little bit. In fact, you find three warnings in God's Word. In the book of Revelation is the most common, where we're warned against adding to or taking away from God's Word. But what isn't quite as well known is you find that also back, I believe, in the book of Numbers. It's either Numbers or Deuteronomy. The same prohibition or the same warning is voiced there. Don't change it. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. And then in the middle of the Word of God, in the book of Proverbs, God warns again about changing His Word. You see, we don't have that right. This is not the Bible, man's holy word. This is the Bible, God's holy word. He's the one who gave it. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, not by inspiration of man. We do not have that right. We do not have that authority. We don't have the right to say, well, this is how I think I'll do it. No, we look to the Word of God and say, this is how God says we ought to do it. And so we have those today on the subject of gastronomy in the news a lot today because of the terrorist action and it's another Muslim attack on our country and our freedoms. Do I agree with those sodomites? Of course not. Do I support them in their choice of lifestyle? Of course I don't. But would I advocate taking arms and killing them? Of course I wouldn't. That was a Muslim terrorist act, an attack on our nation. And if our president doesn't want to admit it, that's his problem. He's living in some, and maybe he's come out and admitted it by now or not. I don't know. I really don't pay that much attention to him anymore. But when it comes to sodomy, we have a lot of people saying that the Word of God doesn't say it's an abomination. Or what they generally say, because it's right there in black and white and print for them to see, what they normally say is, well, that was just cultural. But we're enlightened today, and so God understands, and He accepts it, and He loves everybody. He does love everybody. But God says there are certain sins that are an abomination to Him. And that's one. And if we're going to soft-pedal the Word of God and decide that we can change it, we're not doing what Solomon was told to do right here and keep it as it is written in the law of Moses. Thus saith the Lord. And that's the way it has to be in our lives, and that's the way we have to portray it as a father is giving a message to his son, is this is what's important. You keep God's word just as it's written. You don't go around changing it. You don't soft pedal it. You don't change the words. They're not wrongdoings. It's sin. It's iniquity. It's wickedness. It's not a gay lifestyle. It's not homosexuality. It's sodomy. It's not alcoholism. It's drunkardness. We need to get back to what the Word of God says, as it's written in the Word of the Lord. And when we start changing all that stuff, then all of a sudden sin becomes not a sin anymore, but it becomes somebody else's fault or something where I can't help myself. I was born that way. And so then there's no more responsibility for sin. And then all of a sudden God is an unjust ogre for condemning it and sending people to hell because of it. We've got to stay with the Word of God because it only takes one generation for it to slip. And so the father is saying to his son, son, you live a godly life. You be an example of what godliness is. And then you make sure everybody knows what godliness is. You make sure that those people know what the Word of God has to say by your lifestyle, by your actions, and by your voice, your communications. So he says, Solomon, first of all, be a man. Be strong and be a man. Secondly, be godly. Keep the charge of the Lord thy God as it is written in the law of Moses. And then thirdly, in verse number 4, he says, Solomon, be faithful. Solomon, be faithful. The whole point of verse number 4 is that God gave David a promise. God promised David that his descendants would sit on the throne of Israel. He says, as long as they walk the way they ought to walk. As long as they walk according to his word. David knew that if his sons would get away from God, they would no longer be king. And so you look over at Israel today. Is there a king of David sitting on the throne of Israel? There isn't. There will be soon when Jesus comes back and sits on the throne again during the millennial kingdom, but not until then. What happened? They got away from God's word. Solomon didn't keep the charge here in this case that God or that David gave him or God gave him through David. David says to Solomon, be faithful in training your children. Solomon was not faithful in training his children. As we read the life history of Solomon recorded for us in the Word of God, we find that Solomon took all kinds of wives. All we can say is, what an idiot. What a bad example he was for you and for me. But those wives then led him away from God. And he began to participate in pagan religion. You see, he didn't keep this charge. David says, Solomon, I'm narrowing it down to three things that are important. Now, he says some more personal things there in this same message. But basically, as he's giving him a charge, there's three things he says. Now, these are important. Be a man, be godly, and be faithful. You see, David had a burden for his children and his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren and all his descendants. Now, remember, David is an aged man about to die. Solomon is at least 40 years old here. And David is saying, Solomon, you get your act together. Because I want those grandkids in heaven with me. And I want their grandkids in heaven with me. And I want their grandkids in heaven with me. I want this godliness to stay in our family line so that we can all wind up in heaven someday. It only takes one generation to lose it. You might be here this morning, you might be thinking, well, my kids have already blown it. Are they still breathing? They still have a chance. How much of a chance do they have if we don't give them a message from their father as David gave his son a message from his father? Saying, son, get your act together. Be a man. Be godly. Be faithful in your life and training your children. So that they then will train theirs. How about you this morning? Men? Have you been a man? Are you living godly? And are you doing everything you can to pass on your Christian heritage to the next generation? If not, why not? God says, begin today. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for recording this message of a father to his son. Such an important message for today. Father, help us to evaluate our lives in order that we might conform to that which pleases you and do according to this challenge of a father to his son. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.